Hello guys, it's Clint Locklear, the Rand of a Free Trapper, and I've had a busy day, which my morning is what we're going to talk about here in a second. If I sound a little bit out of breath, I've been running really hard with what I did this morning. I got back. I didn't play with lures today. John Daniels, which is I think he's the vice president of the NTA. He had a bunch of old hay that we worked out a deal for. He brought down like 184 bales, and I got another 150 coming for mulch for trees and asparagus and all kind of stuff. So I've been out there doing that all day long. So still trying to calm down. It's late in the evening, so it's going to be a little bit later before this goes up. But I think John, guys, is going to run for the NTA president. If he does, I mean, I hadn't, you know, they all play the little game. But if he does, he's a great guy. He really is a great guy. So if you ever see him running for that, the NTA would be, I think, in a good place if he ran. He don't even know that I'm saying this, didn't ask me to say this, but it's just something I wanted to go ahead and say. Didn't grind bobcat meat today. Good gosh, am I looking at a pile of it. And so I'm a day back on that. But what I want to talk about is if I didn't know any better, I would have thought that I was in an SNL, Saturday Night Live, SNL skit about going to the doctor in the 1940s. It was the wildest thing that I have ever experienced, and probably the biggest waste of my time that I have also experienced at a doctor. Now, finally, and I've talked about the VA before, finally, it's taken since March last year. It is now April of this year, so it's only been 13 months. It's only been 13 months for me to get a exam for just a lot of stuff that's going on from being in the Gulf War and just being 11 Bravo and you know, that's infantry, ground pounder, heavy rucks, heavy LCEs, carrying TOWs and M60 machine guns and, you know, 80 pounds of ammo and 60 pound and 40 pound LCEs and just really, really bodily abusive thing that we did. That's what a soldier is. Now, I've never went to the VA, and this is going to come up here in a minute of why that I am, and I'm going to explain that, but I'll go ahead and explain that. Last year, me and my wife were in Thailand. We went on vacation, 25th anniversary, and on the same trip that we were out, we met a lady from California, and her son was there. She works for the VA. She found out I was a veteran, started asking me questions, and she convinced me and my wife that as I get older, you know, 70, 80 years old, if I make it that long, that if I'm in that system and we don't have the resources, that's a way to get health care on a lot of this type stuff. So for that reason, I've went into the VA system. Now, part of that VA system is when you answer a bunch of questions, this, that, and the other, and they think that you may have PTSD. So the first thing I did this morning, guys, was sit down with a psychiatrist or psychologist. I don't remember which one he was. He was a nice little gentleman, very professional, very unassuming. And I have to admit, besides the stuff we talked about being uncomfortable, that was the way that VA should treat people when they're talking about different subjects. But the only reason I'm bringing up the PTSD, which I got really tickled at him because he's like, I've looked at your file, I've looked at your statement and all this and the other. And he goes, you know, what I'm trying to do, my job today is to see if you have any forms of PTSD and this, that, and the other. And then I'm moving on up the chain. But he said, what's best as far as understanding PTSD is we try to find some traumatic events that can spike some things that may cause people to have different mannerisms that, you know, is considered PTSD. I'm like, okay. He said, now, as far as your traumatic events, You got them in aces. So that is not an option. Which to me, I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, I saw some pretty rough stuff. And training and jump school and different things. Now, I'm not going to go into that because that's not really what I'm saying about. But I want to explain to you, if you're a veteran, because I've never understood exactly what PTSD. PTSD to me is post-traumatic stress disorder. What does that really mean? I thought it was, all this time, I thought that was like some type of mental break that happens in trauma, and it messes up the person mentally and they get really depressed and all kind of, I really didn't know what it was. I just, to be honest with you, didn't really know what it was. And after talking with him, he's like, yeah, there's no chance, in my opinion, that you don't have a serious case of PTSD. Which we got to talking, and I'm bringing this up because if you're ex-military or you're a policeman, maybe PTSD, like me, most people didn't understand what that was. The way he explained it with me as being a soldier was through the training that we have, because I have a feeling that policemen, probably some firefighters, if you worked in the prison system, I know some of y'all have, you get in some unusual situations, you've had different training. The way he explained PTSD to me, I've never heard it that way before, and it definitely, you know, took off the crazy part of it, or, you know, the mental health or whatever from it, the way that I thought it was. So if you were in the military and or a policeman or something like that, and you find yourself in what I'm going to talk about, go ahead and talk to somebody, because it's obvious that there are things that can help. And it's if you understand what it is, there shouldn't be that big of a stigma with it. The way he explained it to me is, he goes, through your training, you were taught to be hyper aware of your surroundings, especially in the MOS that I was in, and especially in some of the training that I was in. He said, then you go to combat and you're in, you know, some very crazy situations as far as what most people don't really deal with on a day-to-day basis. And you go from being aware of your surroundings to being very hyper aware when there's that much danger around, and then you come back home. And he goes, what it seems to, from the studies we're doing, about 2 out of 10 vets, the PTSD that we're finding, is what it basically boils down to, is the switch inside of the human brain that goes from hyper awareness of a situation of a threat in civilian world never gets turned back down to a civilian level. And because of that, that switch is turned up so high, you see things that in more of a threatening way than they probably are in reality. You know, because like when I used to do pool quotes, I couldn't hardly focus on giving the pool bid sometimes, because not knowing what was behind a closed door, because in the military, you always clear the door. You got to know what's behind that door. So I'm sitting there trying to sell a pool, and my brain is more focused on what's behind that door. Now, in someone's house, I mean, it's not like there's going to be somebody back there, but my brain and my emotion just couldn't turn that off. I've gotten a lot better about one thing. I used to go in certain buildings, like a church or a gymnasium, and I'm looking for places people can hide. I'm looking for all the exits. I'm looking for how would you clear the room, as far as if you had to actually go find a bad guy, how would you get cover and concealment? All this stuff that we were trained for very rapidly would take over, and my adrenaline would start pumping and all this type of stuff. And I'm like at a high school basketball game. And basically what it was saying is that switch has never figured out how to turn off. Now, he said they're working on stuff. He said, but at your age, you'll never see it. But it'll be kind of like Star Trek, where they're going to be able to scan your brain, see where this heightened sense of awareness is, and, you know, kind of wave this little thing over there and kind of get the wires hooked back up. And, you know, I'm just saying that for if you're having issues like this, you know, it's not a mental illness thing. It's you don't know how to turn off the awareness. You know, like y'all have heard me say before, I don't even go to church without a gun. My wife, if I'm in bed, she lets me know before she comes down the hall that she's coming down the hall. She has to wake me up, because if something startles me before my brain even goes into, was that a cat? Was that this? It was probably just the roof popping because of heat exchange or anything like that. I'm already in, I've already got a pistol. That is just the way, because that switch hadn't been turned off. So if you're having issues with that, understand it that way instead of someone saying that you're probably crazy, because that is not at all what I thought PTSD was. You know, not a psychiatrist, not giving any medical advice or anything like that. Now, this is going to seem, the rest of this show is going to seem almost like a sad comedy skit, like I said. After I went to the shrink and he pretty much told me that, yes, I have PTSD at a high scale, I went, and in a few minutes, I went and saw the doctor. Now, being in the Gulf War, and you're going through the VA, you have a Gulf War exam. Now, there's a lot of weird stuff that has happened from the Gulf War that there's not a lot of explanations about. So what the VA, after all the years of basically telling people that they were perfectly healthy even though they were dying, that it was just all in their head. So I went in, and there was a Filipino doctor. I'm not going to mention her name. She was a nice lady. She was very friendly. She's from India. And part of probably the problem was the language difference. So she starts off, and I can only imagine, and I'm sitting here thinking, I just come from a PTSD examination, and I walk into this. And people wonder why veterans feel so hopeless sometimes. Now, I don't have depression, guys. That is not something I really ever had to deal with. So, but I can understand how hopeless someone could feel if they had a tendency towards being depressed. This is how this started. Told me your name, you know, what do you do? About a minute and a half of small talk. And she said, well, my job as a doctor is to find out where symptoms come from. I've been doing this for 20 years, giving this exam, and just letting you know, in 20 years, there's only been one case where I couldn't come up with an explanation, so that was probably the Gulf War syndrome. And I'm sitting there listening to that, and I just go, so what am I doing here then? If you've already decided that there's nothing near the Gulf War, why am I even here? No, we have to do the exam, this, that, and the other. So I asked her of her context of the reason she was doing it, and she was like, well, as a doctor, I need to find out. She repeated that a couple of times. It was very clear to me, her perception was to find a reason with some of the issues that I have and have had for 20 years, to come up with a doctor to say it's not the Gulf War syndrome. Now, some of the stuff that I deal with, guys, y'all don't know about, but I'm going to say it just a little bit, and this is not for sympathy. Please don't send emails and stuff like that. It's not the reason for doing this. But if you know veterans are having problems, this is why you need to figure out how to be friends with them and give them support and stuff like this, because I can understand with a propensity of being depressed how bad this could get. So we start this, and she starts with my joint pain. Now, I've had severe joint pain, some from trapping, but I was getting that when I was in the military. Why did I have joint pain? Well, there's a lot of stuff from the Gulf War they don't understand. They gave us pills that they won't tell us what they were. They, you know, MRE is about 3,000 calories. You would eat, when you ate these pills, you would eat 3 to 4 of those at a sitting. and you were still starving to death. It made you nervous. It made your nose run. One medic said it was low doses of nerve agent. Another one said it had something to do with anthrax. I don't know if they knew. Didn't know what it was. They made us get in formation, and just like you would at a psychiatric hospital, watch you put it in your mouth and swallow. And this went on for months. And you had all these crazy effects. You couldn't sleep. You get really anxious. People were getting angry all the time. It was affecting everybody, whatever this pill was. I take it 3 times a day. We were around a lot of burn pits, which is burning human feces and all kind of crap. Not crap, but just other stuff. With diesel fuel, that was a daily thing from where our tents were. Smelling this type stuff, and they're thinking that has something to do with the Gulf War. The big fires and all that from the oil fields, blowing up all kinds of probably chemical weapons and plants and stuff like that, and that's floating around. We were around a lot of shells that were made of uranium and different things like that that basically is very dangerous. And different things. So all this stuff builds up inside of the what they're looking at for the Gulf War. And so what a lot of people have is their joints hurt. They get lightheaded. They're very sensitive to light. They have headaches. Their back and hips and stuff hurt like that. They get dizzy. Just all this different stuff, but it's not like they can go, okay, what it is. So when we started this, she was like, tell me about your joint pain. And I was like, well, my knees and my ankles and all this stuff, and they hurt like this and yada, yada, yada. And she goes, well, if you lost weight, you wouldn't have the joint pain. And I'm like, ma'am, I've had this before I got out of the military. And she goes, well, if you lost it now, you wouldn't have the joint pain. Now, I'm sitting there dumbfounded at this point. Absolutely dumbfounded. And she was like, well, it could be arthritis. And when she said arthritis, then she started typing. So that was the end of the discussion on the joint pain. And then we went to the headaches, and it was basically the same thing. And sometimes I get like a vertigo type dizziness, which I've had for years. It could be just like once a month or once a week. And it's really weird. It feels like I'm falling backwards into a hole where, you know, down is up and up is down, and it's really weird. And I try to explain that, and she goes, oh, that's just the inner ear. Then she typed that in. So she automatically went from joint pain was my weight now, was the reason my joints hurt then, and the crazy dizziness or vertigo that I get is just an inner ear problem. Has nothing to do with the Gulf War. So in my brain, I'm like thinking, okay, so we're going to do some type of exam on this, I guess. And this went on and on and on. And whatever it was, like every now and then, if I pick up a spoon or a bowl or something like that, my hands will shake. And I can make it stop if I tighten my... It's almost, you know, like a Parkinson's or something. Like if I just pick up a spoon and it shakes, and I brought that up, she just ignored it. And this just went on, symptom after symptom. She just come up off the top of her head of what, you know, without doing anything, just what it was, and typing it in the report. This is where it gets like a 1940s skit from Saturday Night Live about what it must have been like to go to a doctor. So, guys, I'm going to tell you what a VA Gulf War exam is. I can tell you everything that they did. Stand up, okay? Bend over till you feel tension in your back. So you just bend over, and she pulls out this projector or protractor looking thing and gets a degree measurement. She goes, twist side to side. So you bend over and you twist side to side. She runs her hand up my back and she pushes on my lower back. That was it. That was all of the back exam that there was. That was it. And then with all the shoulder and joints and elbows, and I've tried taking cortisone shots, which I've had to do, and some crazy fatigue things that's been going on for years. And so she does the whole examination of my joints is she squeezed my elbows until it felt uncomfortable, both elbows. And then she had me raise my arm out to the side, rotated up and down, and then touched the middle of my back. She looked in my mouth, nose, and eyes with a light. They took my pulse, my blood pressure. She took the little thing that you hit on your knee to see if you get a reflex. She did that to both legs. And she had a tuning fork that she hits to see if you can feel the vibration through your knees and through one of your knuckles. Guys, that was the whole exam. Now, with the dizziness and the headaches and the fatigue and the joint pain and the, oh yeah, and the diverticulitis, this is what I knew that this was a waste of my time. First time I had diverticulitis that I had to go to the hospital because I didn't know what it was because no one in our family's ever had it was, I think, 2004. The doctor told me then that I was about 18 hours away from being dead. Because we did, you know, I grew up in a family, men don't go to the doctor unless something's fell off. I mean, that's basically the way that it is. So, the first, you know, for years, my stomach's bothered me, but I didn't know what it was. So, you drink a lot of water, you don't eat as much, and you're very uncomfortable, and it hurts, and eventually it kind of goes away. Well, it got bad enough that I had to go to the hospital because I thought an alien was crawling out of my lower intestine. I didn't know what was going on. And they put me in the hospital. They shot me up full of drugs. They had to put drugs in, actually through a needle, through my vein, into my heart. I mean, it was crazy. And I probably have had episodes of diverticulitis somewhere to 50 to 60 times since 2004. I've taken enough antibiotics. Me and Cipro are like twin brothers at this point. It got so bad when I was in Mexico, I just bought a tub of them. And she said, all the diverticulitis, that's from eating nuts. That's what you put in the report. Nuts. Nuts. I had nuts that caused it. And because I ate nuts, I've had 50 to 60 episodes where I've had to take antibiotics because of diverticulitis. But you can look that up if you don't know what that is. That's pretty rough. People lose colons, and I mean, it's bad. That was the VA doctor's explanation of decades of diverticulitis. Is nuts causes diverticulitis, not the Gulf War. Now, what's interesting about that is in the last 5 to 7 years, all of the major research. Because when you have something like this, you want to stay in touch. Is there like a cure now? Is there what's the latest and greatest and stuff like that? They've determined the last 5 or 7 years, nuts and seeds have absolutely nothing to do with diverticulitis. You can eat them after you get it. It makes no difference whatsoever. Now, the VA doctor is taking old information that's not even pertinent anymore by science. And that is the reason that I have had a couple of decades of bad stomach problems or lower intestine problems. Nuts. So I want you to think, this is the reason I said this is like a skit, guys. Why a veteran would get, I mean, if I didn't have the resources that I have, where we didn't have insurance and stuff like that, and I had to pay out of pocket every time I had to go to the hospital or the emergency room or get Cipro or something like that, it would have bankrupted me. Bankrupted me. Now, if a veteran doesn't have that insurance and he's told that all of these, between the joint pains and the stomach and the vertigo and the fatigue and all this type stuff is from nuts, an inner ear problem, and you need to lose some weight. Is there any wonder why they get depressed? And especially when you're taking the exam. So I want you to mentally run this through your head. Stand up, bend over, twist side to side, lift your arms up to the side, rotate them, touch the middle of your back. I'm going to look in your mouth, nose, and ears. I'm going to tap you on the knees, and I'm going to tap you on the knees with a tuning fork and on your knuckle. Yep, you're good to go. Took me 13 months to get that exam. I have no idea what's going to come from it. My personal opinion of it so far is nothing. Now, in the middle of this, it was clear she had no idea or sympathy what we did in the military. None. It was almost like it was inconceivable that someone's going to have hip and back problems from jumping out of airplanes and taking 15-mile walks with 140 to 60 pounds of stuff at a pace that a lot of people don't even run at, and doing that over and over and over again. All the jumping, falling, rolling, crawling with all that crap, sleeping on the ground in roots, getting beat up in helicopters, all that stuff would have no bearing on any of that. Probably have an inner ear problem, I ate some nuts, and I'm overweight. Wow. So, this is not for anybody to feel sorry for Marie about, but it is kind of a rant. Guys, if that is what most veterans are going through when they go see the VA needs to go away. If the doctor has already made her mind up that the Gulf War syndrome is only if she can't make up a diagnosis, like nuts or inner ear. They never checked my inner ear. They never did an x-ray. They never did a CT. They never did anything. One of the things I did in the add-in to the exam, just on being honest, is shake your head side to side. I mean, it was crazy. I would have felt better if they put some leeches on me or something besides just wiggle your limbs around, slap you on the butt, and tell you to go home. Because that's exactly what it was like. And if you don't know this, it's estimated that 22 to 40 veterans every 24 hour kill themselves. Think about that. People get upset over a school shooting. That's happened every day to people that have put on green paint and carried rucksacks because whether they were or not, they thought they were serving their country. Whether they thought the mission was righteous or not. In the middle of this interview, She's like, well, how come you've never been in here? And I said, ma'am, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I got out of the Army, and this is a true story, guys, I met a sergeant that I knew when I was at a different unit. Guys, he was a black guy, about 5'11", and he was a stud to the core. He looked like not quite a bodybuilder, but close. He could run and road march all day long. He was hardcore to the max. When I saw him after the Gulf War, I thought I was looking at a bald, 60-year-old black meth head. And when I saw him, it was such a shock. And I asked him what was going on. And he goes, I don't know, man. After coming back from Desert Storm, I started losing weight. I started getting these stomach issues. I couldn't eat. My hair fell out. I can't hardly move my joints. I can't even pass a PT test anymore. And he just went on down all these things. And he goes, you know, I can only work like an hour. And then that's pretty much it for the day. And I'm just burnt out. He was like, my batteries had just been completely unplugged. And I'm like, what do they think it is? Oh, they say I'm perfectly healthy. This is all in my head. I looked at that doctor today and I said, basically, my experience with the VA doctors is you don't want to take any responsibility for what could have happened when someone is in the service because of this example. And basically, the VA and the medical doctors of the Army told this guy, you're perfectly fine, go away, die quietly, but do it somewhere else. And she looked at me for about 3 seconds, and she shrugged, and then she went back to her paperwork. See, I don't know how to close this show. I don't. I don't want to keep hammering on about it. It was unbelievable. And people think that they want a government-ran healthcare. Trust me, guys, that is not what you want to have in America. Because even as a veteran, 13 months to get an exam that was more scientific if I'd have had it done in the 1930s or 40s. With the... See, I don't know why I have some of this stuff. But when you talk to other people from the Gulf War, all this stuff is very common. But when the doctor's mind is made up and there's only been one case of one symptom in 20 years, why in the world is she given the exam? Crazy world that I do not understand and I do not get. It's frustrating to no end. And not just for me, for hundreds of thousands of veterans. It's just crazy. Well, crazy is not really the right word. It's just sad. And that part of all this has been very... I could see how someone could feel hopeless. Because you feel like you're trying to get help if you really need it. And the mind is already made up that it has nothing to do with all the stuff that you did. And I'm sure not everything everybody tries to say could be is really real. I mean, a certain amount of population of people will try to get anything they can. Only reason I went to the VA, so when I'm older and if I don't have the resources, they can help me with the things that what happened because I did what they told me to do. But it doesn't look like, from the exam I had today, that that's going to happen. America's number one's all I can say.